course. So always a delight. But our guests this morning, Pastors Paul and Robin, have a tremendous story. Pat and I had an opportunity to first meet them when I was going through the credentialing process for being licensed with the Assemblies of God. They were being certified at that time. That was back in 2011. We ended up meeting up with them again, just kept in contact to some degree, just because you know how it is, and sometimes you meet somebody and you just have that kindred spirit. That's how Pat and I feel with Paul and Robin. You know, we can be away for a number of years and we get a chance to reconnect and you just kind of pick up with where you left off. But we got a chance to reconnect in person in 2014 when the three of us were being ordained, and so got a chance to hear what God had been doing in their lives, and we got to share what God was doing in ours. But just a powerful testimony that they have. And sometimes we think about missionaries, and we think of that, okay, they're going to look different, they're going to talk different, they're going to be really weird. Well, one of the three things qualify, because they're just as weird as we are, okay? They dress like we do, they look like we do, but they're just as weird as we are. And it's always refreshing to be able to see what God can do in a life if you're willing to just say yes. And that's what I see when I think of Paul and Robin. They were willing to say, yes, God, I will go. And so, Paul, Robin, I know you guys are going to kind of tag team this morning and get you a mic here. But however you guys want to start out, we just so appreciate you guys coming.
Thank you.
It is going to be awesome.
Wow, thank you. Pastor Lisa and Pat are certainly dear friends of ours, and so it's a privilege to be here today. So I would say good morning. In the Thai language, I would say sawadika, which is hello, good morning. Also thank you. In the Thai language, we say kap kun ka. So thank you for having us here today and letting us share a little bit about not only what God has done in our lives, but what he's doing in Thailand. And Pastor Lisa mentioned, we are going to each speak a little bit today. But instead of us both standing up here, which sometimes gets awkward when the other one is speaking, we're going to tag team a little bit. So Paul's going to start, and then we'll swap.
All right. Again, thank you, Pastor Lisa and Pat. This is such a beautiful setting. You know, we've said, sometimes we're in the cities or different places, and you come up here, and this time of year, at least, is very refreshing. And so Thailand's very hot, and I don't know about being here in the winter, but this is good. So 2007 for us, Robin and ourselves and myself, was a really big year for us. And so prior to that, we'd been married for a long time, but not to each other. We'd both been divorced. And so I have two daughters. Robin has two sons. And when they were in high school, we joined our families together. And so, and here's our family right now. You can take a look. He's put that up. That's our combined family now. Now there's four of them, which became eight, well, almost eight. Their youngest is getting married, and we got four grandkids. We had a new granddaughter last week. She didn't make the photo yet, but that was when we got back. So, yes. And so 2007 comes around. All four of our kids are gone off into college, and we are like, woo, yeah, now what are we going to do? I mean, the kids are gone. And so we felt God, or we kind of heard God, felt God saying, you should go to church. And so that was not on our radar at that point. And so I had grown up Catholic, and I just quit right after high school down in Iowa. And so I admit that I'm from Iowa. And so I was speaking to you earlier, and she's like, you realize you're an Iowegian? I'm like, yeah, I heard. That's, you know, but there's a lot of Iowa-Minnesota jokes going back and forth. So, and Robin is from Olivia, Minnesota, which is down by Wilbur. She'd grown up Methodist, but she was much more involved in new Bible stories than I ever was. So 2007, we decided from God that we should go to church. And right then, there's a church plant going up near our neighborhood. We lived in Savage near Prior Lake, and our kids all went to Prior Lake High School. And so there was a church plant building going up. So we look them up online, and they're still meeting in a school, elementary school. So we said, we'll go check out this school. And so we go over there, and we're used to the building is the church, but this is different for us. And we walk in, and they got little band set up and raising their hand. It was different. And we listened to the message, but the pastor's message was just like spot on for how you should be living your life. So a couple months later, we committed our lives to Christ. And then it wasn't too long after that, we just felt God saying again, you guys aren't doing this right. We'd been living together for years. He said, you should get married. And so our kids are in three different states, and we just really felt we needed to get married now, so we didn't tell them, anyone. We flew off to California, eloped, and came back, and we're married. And we just started doing things, and then they announced there's going to be a mission trip, and it was going to be an international mission trip. And I'm from Iowa, and I'm like, well, international's a tractor. I was confused. What are they talking about tractors right now, you know? So, but international really means like out of the country. And so this one was to Haiti. I went to Haiti and I got baptized there. And then this one came up, and Robin went to Uganda and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit while she was there. So then we just like, wow, we got to do these all the time. And so went to Haiti again, went to El Salvador, started doing these trips. And then we went to our pastor and said, wow, we just think we should be doing this all the time. We really don't even know what that looks like. And that's where he said, you know, you need to sell your house and your things and be out of debt and study the Bible, become pastors. So we started doing that over the next few years. And we went many different places, Haiti again and again, and just different places. But I want to read, there was a couple Bible verses that we liked that stuck out while we were preparing to go on the mission field. And the first one is from Matthew 28, and it's 19 and 20. And that might be up here in a minute, but I'll read that one. So we got it. Matthew 28 one. There it is. So this Matthew 28, 19 and 20 was just a Bible verse that we liked at that time. And it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you. I am with you always to the end of the age. And just a couple little things in there was like the go. And it doesn't, for us, it started out just going to our neighbors and different places. But then it turned into going across the world. And we need to teach them and make disciples and learn how to not just share Jesus with them, but to deepen that by making them disciples. But it also says in there, I have commanded you. So that's a strong word. It's like, you need to do this. But the part that really I like about it, I think the most at the end, he says, I am with you always till the end of the earth. Because sometimes the enemy's in us. If he's like that, you just feel this like, what am I doing here? I am not worthy. I can't do this. I self-doubt and everything. But I know that he is in us all the time till the end. And that just gives me a little more boldness. And, you know, sometimes I want to go share with somebody. I'm like, I can't do this. But then this verse comes back. So the second one is in Acts 1:8. And just a little setting, just a little context of what's going on here. So this is in Acts, and Jesus is back. He'd been risen from the dead, and he's back with the disciples for 40 days. And this is the last thing probably that he said to them before he was swept away. And so this says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And again, it's very similar to the last one. It's like, you will receive the power. You know, God is in you, and we can do this stuff with his help. So that was very meaningful to us. And the second thing is that we will be his witnesses. So we're over in Thailand trying to be God's witnesses for that. So moving on. So we kept doing these mission trips. Well, 2011, we went on a short-term trip to Thailand, and that's where, through many different instances, we just felt totally called to go to Thailand. And then 2012 is when we moved over there for the first time, and we went for our two-year term there. And while we were there, we worked with university students for the most part. There was an existing Thai Assemblies of God church, and they had a coffee shop and English center, and we just built relationships and learned the language and invited them to church. And I think we have a picture with a few of the students right there. That's some of our first class. And one of the guy in the purple golf, there's a whole story about him. He's a very strong Christian now. And so a number of them became Christians during that time. And so then we came back, and we were here in the States for 1 year. And then we left for our four-year term. And during that time, we moved to another city, and we started a church plant. We worked with a church planting team. And it's through that church planting team that we'd have other teams come and help us out, a couple teams a year. And with one of those teams is where we met this young woman named Deer. And Deer is an announcer at the elephant camp. And so not far, 30 minutes from us, is an elephant camp, and they have elephant shows. And they teach about how they log and do that. There's how they log and just things that elephants do. And it's a few hundred acres, and there's 100 elephants roaming around. And so several years ago, a team came, and one of the things we do is they have a fun day. So we take them to the elephant camp. And after the show, Deer, the announcer, comes up to a young woman, and this young woman had a knee brace on because she had had surgery recently. And Deer, about her age, is saying, well, I'm going to be having a surgery, and I just want to know what it was like for you. And so this young woman explains it to her, but then she says, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe in that God can heal, and that he can heal your knee. Can I pray for you? And so she prayed for her knee, and that was about it. And so 5 months later, we go back, and we're there, and afterwards, I see Deer, and she's like, hey, aren't you that guy that brought that woman who prayed for my knee? And yeah, and she said, you know what? My knee got healed, and so I never had the surgery. And that's exciting, you know, a miracle right there. But then, I think even better, she said, so I found a church, and I'm a Christian now. And we're just so thankful for that, too. And so we have a picture of when we were back shortly before we came back. We got back here to the U.S. in January. But we went back to the elephant camp. And this is Deer, who has now gotten married. And she's expecting a baby. She probably just had it. And so this is Robin and a colleague of ours who got the opportunity to pray over Deer. And so I'm excited that, you know, through one bold move, a generation has been changed. So let's continue to pray for Deer in the future.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I'll be ready in a second here. little transition. Whoops. Okay, we missed our Thailand stats. So Thailand is 69 million people, 95% Buddhist, less than 1% Christian. So there is certainly no lack of ministry need there. And Thai people, you know, they were open to speak about Christianity, about Jesus there, which is wonderful. We don't have to be secret about what we're doing. And they kind of mock us a little bit, though. They even say, we have visas that are religious visas, so it's recognized that we're a religious worker. But they kind of say, you know, you missionaries, you've been here for 200 years already, and you do a lot of good for Thailand. And so you can stay here as long as you want, because our people are still going to be Buddhist. And so we're like, well, okay, we get to stay, right? We will see what God does with all of that. So Thailand stats, there we go. As Paul was sharing that story about deer, I love that story. It always reminds me that, you know, we would love to see a lot of people come to know Jesus in Thailand, and we would love to see that be quick. Sometimes that happens that way, sometimes it doesn't. But God reminds us that it's all about that one person. You know, that young woman right there. We don't know who she will impact, you know, her family, her community, many throughout Thailand that we won't be able to. And so we're thankful that God uses, it wasn't even us, it was a member of the team that came to help us. And so please pray for Deer and many other like her. Paul was kind of mentioning, you know, before we felt the call to be missionaries, Paul actually had been a teacher. I was an accountant. I had been an accountant for 20 years. And so I am very much an introvert accountant that loves to sit in a little cubicle and work with numbers. And so to become a missionary was like, well, God can do that, right? So now I talk to people, and I'm not in my little cube doing numbers. But as we were preparing to be missionaries and to be pastors, we were taking classes, and each of the classes that we took, one of our assignments was to prepare a sermon. And so I was working on a sermon and trying to figure out who was I going to give this sermon to. I wasn't going to be up in a church like this. I wasn't ready for that. And so I asked my boss if I could share my sermon with my coworkers, my accountants. And she said yes. And so I went in one day at lunch and shared a sermon with six accountants. That's kind of like, it seems like the beginning of a joke. Six accountants came to listen to a sermon from another accountant who's studying to be a pastor. But the sermon that I gave that day was on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him." Some versions say, "In all your ways submit to him, and he will make straight your paths." So in this, in that room that day, those six accountants that came, one of them was a Christ follower, and five of them were not. But they came to support me and to listen. And little did they know the seeds that got planted in their lives as I was able to share, you know, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? To truly, every day, all the time, trust in the Lord. You know, when we first became Christ followers, excuse me, I would often get up in the morning and I would just lift my hands to God and say, like, God, you know, here I am. And here's all my stuff, right? We all have stuff. Like, here's my stuff, Lord. Like, help me, use me, and I trust you, right? And living that way, you know, every day and all throughout the day reminds us not to have anxiety, not to have worry, but to truly trust in the Lord, right? And do not lean on your own understanding. Well, this one was even tougher for me because as an accountant, a couple of my job titles or a couple different jobs I had the title of being the controller. And that was kind of my personality, too. Like, I thought I was right all the time, and I just had a plan for everything. And I had to really learn, like, it wasn't going to be my plan. And I had to be reminded, like, oftentimes, I develop a plan of this is what I think it should be, and then I ask God to bless it. Right? instead of listening, like, what is God telling me to do, and being obedient to that. So that was another big thing for me, and then I was able to share with my accounting friends. So in all your ways, acknowledge him or submit to him, and he will make straight your path. Right? So are we doing that each and every day? I would just encourage you, you know, in the things that you're doing on a daily basis, are you acknowledging him? Are you submitting to him? And we know his promises. He tells us that he will make straight our way. He will tell us what to do. He will give us the guidance. So it was a great day for me to be able to share and to sow seeds into my coworkers as well. And also during this time, I had in my mind, like, it was going to be really good when we got to Thailand, right? We were going to do great things when we eventually got to be missionaries in Thailand. A little prideful, right? Like, we were going to be amazing. And God just reminded me, like, it's not just going to be good when you get there. Like, it's good now. And I needed that because I was thinking, like, we are going to be missionaries in Thailand. We're going to teach people about Jesus. People are going to come to know the Lord. They're going to get saved. That's going to be great. And God's like, but there's people in front of you now. And it was my reminder, like, it doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter if I'm here, if I'm in Thailand, if I'm in Apple Valley, where we're living right now, you know, that there are people in front of us each and every day. And it's our job to speak to them, right? To be Christ, to show them what our lives are like with Christ in our lives. And so, as Paul had mentioned, we were the first couple years in Chiang Mai, and we were working with a church that had a coffee shop and an English center. And so then the next term, when we went to Lompong, we thought, okay, we'll take this ministry and plant it in another city. Right, so we're going to plant the church. We'll have a coffee shop. Well, none of us were baristas, so we decided, okay, we didn't need to have a coffee shop. But let's have an English center and a church. And we moved to the city. We started looking for buildings, and we couldn't find a building. Everything was either too big or too expensive. And even if we'd get beyond that, we'd go look at a building, and they'd look at us, and they'd say no. And even if we got beyond that, we would tell them we were going to have a church, and they would say, really, no. And so it was a struggle. And we were frustrated because for the first 2 years, we had church in our living room. And a few people came, not very many, but a few people came. And it was getting harder and harder because it's like, Lord, like, we thought this was the plan. And God reminded us again, like, whose plan is that? Is that your plan or is that my plan? So it was another wake up for us, like, okay, Lord, keep revealing things to us and teaching us, like, what is your plan in this city? What does it look like? And so we had church for 2 years in our living room, and we learned after the fact the impact that it had and will have on our neighbors. So we lived in a neighborhood. We had a small house with a small front yard, but the houses that were around us, the three houses kind of behind us and next to us, we shared rain gutters, so we were kind of close. So, like, if the neighbor sneezed, you heard them. So we had to be a little careful sometimes. But our neighbors knew that every Monday night we had church, and we'd picked Monday night because we were reaching university students, and often they go home on the weekend. So Monday night we had church, and so people came to our house. We had worship in both Thai, the Thai language, and English, and we would tell a story. We used a story method for church, and so there'd be a story about God, about Jesus, a story from the Bible, and in both Thai and English. And then after we were done with that, we would have a time of fellowship. We always ate together. And sometimes we would get kind of loud, too, so our neighbors heard all of that. So even though none of our neighbors ever came to a Monday night service, they heard every Monday night. And so God just reminded us, like, look at those seeds that were planted. They heard your worship songs. They heard your stories. They heard your fellowship. And so we're like, okay, Lord, we're listening. We're following your plan. And then, so 2 years, we did eventually find a building through a friend of ours helped us find just a little one-room place that we could rent. Worked great for us. And so as we were getting ready to move into that building, we had a grand opening and invited a lot of our friends. And a lot of our friends came, and when we invited them to church, and one of the young women that we invited to church was a woman whose name is Ing. So we've got a picture of Ing. And her mom. So Ing is on your left, and she actually worked in one of the coffee shops in Lompoc, and so there was many coffee shops, so again, we didn't need to do that. So we got to know Ing, and she spoke English, and she at some point had been introduced to Christianity in the past. We weren't quite sure how much or what, but we knew that she had some influence or some teaching. So we invited Ing to come to church. So on your right, sorry, is Nui, who is Ing's mother. And so Ing comes to church the very first Monday night that we have church, and Ing doesn't drive. So her mother brings her on a motorbike. So they pull up in the front of our building and on the motorbike. And Nui actually had, she had grown up being a Buddhist and at one point was married to a Muslim man. And the night that we first met her, when Ing came to church, she still had her headscarf on. And we went out to greet her because we hadn't met her before and said hello. And Nui does not speak English. And so we spoke in Thai to her and so then the next week, Ing came back again to church, and we're delighted. You know, she came back twice. She saw the whole thing once, and she came back again. And Nui brought her again, and this time Nui did not have her headscarf on. And we again went out to greet her and invited her in again, and this night Nui came in to church. So I'm all excited because, you know, we have mostly younger people in our church, and here's a woman who's about my age. I'm like, I get a friend that's closer in age to me, and I have a third grade Thai level, so I can, you know, I can speak a little bit to her. So they came into church, and that first night in church, we gave them a Bible that was in the Thai language. And the next week, they came back. And at the beginning of our service, we always have a time of sharing, what do you want to thank God for? And Nui said she wanted to thank God because her knee was better. And we thought, that's great. I mean, great that her knee's better, and great that she recognizes that God did that, right? And so we go through the night. The next week, they come back again. We're still praising God. They're coming back to church. And then our fellowship time on that third week that Nui was there, or that Ing was there, Nui started talking about her knee again. And we realized that there was more to the story, and she wanted us to understand the whole thing. And so we had it all translated in both Thai and English so everybody could understand her story. And she said, she told us the story. She said, the night we gave her the Bible, they went home. She said, in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I felt like God was telling me to read the Bible. She said, so I did. And as I was reading the Bible, I felt God telling me to pray for anything, and I will give it to you. And so she prayed for her knees to be healed. And she got up in the morning, and her knees were healed. Now, it wasn't just like she had a sore knee. Her knees had been hurting her for 10 years. So she has a very labor-intensive job. She stands a lot, and so it's a big deal for her. And so we were, you know, praising God for her knees being healed, but also praising God that she realized this miracle. And she said, I'm in. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow. I really want to have Christ and God in my life. And so praise God. Two more women you can pray for Ing and for Nui. Now, Nui also has a son. And he's very shy, so he won't come to church. And she told us one night, she's like, I even went and put the Bible underneath his pillow in hopes that God would speak to him just like he spoke to me. You know, and it's a reminder that we didn't have anything special to say to Ing and Nui. I mean, there wasn't a special formula or something we said to lead somebody to the Lord, but God spoke to her, right? And so we actually had the chance to see her last fall right before we left. We went back to the church, and because Paul and I have transitioned off of that team now, and we're back in Chiang Mai, but we went back there, and she was so excited to see us, and she said, I have a plan. I said, okay, Nui, what's your plan? She said, I'm going to get my son here on the motorbike, and you're going to come out and grab him just like you grabbed me. And we're like, okay, let's make it happen. So we just thank the Lord for what he has done there in Lompoc. So the church there is still going and still strong, and people are still coming to church. So we praise God for that. And now, as I mentioned, we transitioned back to the city of Chiang Mai last summer. God's given us a vision, and instead of working with one church, a church plant, of working with a number of different churches. The Thailand Assemblies of God actually has been active for 50 years, and there are 200 churches. And so they have actually asked us, you know, instead of working with just one church and one pastor, please work with multiple pastors. And so when we go back, we'll be doing that. God's also given us a vision to help start a pastoral training center in the north, northern Thailand, where Chiang Mai is. And we don't know what that looks like. And sometimes people ask us, like, how much money do you need to raise for that? And we're like, we don't know. We don't know what it's going to look like, but we do know that we need more pastors in Thailand, because we have a lot of cities that don't have churches. We have a lot of cities that don't even have a Christian. And so when you think about, how does anybody hear if there isn't even a Christian there? And so please join us in praying for that as well. So our goal really is to come alongside Thai pastors to help equip them to reach the lost. I think lastly, I have a couple more slides. There's one of the churches up in the north of Thailand. There's a few large churches, but most of them are small. So you can get a kind of an idea of what some of them look like out of the city. And then you may be asking yourself, how can you help? And originally, this slide is all about Thailand, but today I want to change that a little bit, because I think that that's what I'm supposed to do. So you can see prayer, financial partnership, join us in Thailand. You may have heard that the words pray, give, go. I heard that phrase. And we talk about praying, you know, and we talk about as it relates to lost people, you know, pray for lost people. As Paul was sharing the verse from Acts, you know, people in Jerusalem, right here in Hill City, you know, pray for people in Hill City, pray for people in Judea and Samaria, you know, people throughout Minnesota or throughout the U.S. and to the ends of the earth. You know, I encourage you to continue to pray for all of those people, for, you know, near and far. And then give. I would encourage you to give above your tithes and, you know, give your offerings, and not just for missions around the world, but for things that are happening right here, for outreaches that are here, that are, you know, you're reaching those people, the people in your Jerusalem, right? And go. Lastly, we do need people to join us in Thailand. We need people to come on short-term teams. We need people to come for a year or a lifetime. But I think today, go means go to the people around you. Go to your neighbors. Go to your family members. Go to your friends. Go to the people that you work with, or the people that you see at the grocery store or the gas station. And what does it mean to go to them? You know, are you sharing Jesus with them? And then, I mean, I love your sign, Beyond. It reminds me, like, you know, we are all here, but beyond that door, there's a lot of people that need to know Christ, a lot of lost people throughout the world. And so whoever needed that today, I think that's what I was supposed to share. So let's see. You have seen our family picture already, so I think that was next in the loop. And then lastly, we just wanted to say thank you for letting us be here and share not only what God has done in our lives and how he has changed us, but what he's doing around the world, what he's doing in Thailand, and people are coming to know Jesus there, and so we're thankful for that. And so thank you for having us here. We do have prayer cards out on the table out there. We do a newsletter. You can sign up for our newsletter, and if there's any questions that you have of us, or you think of it afterwards, please feel free. Our contact info is on here to send us a note or let us know how we can help you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you both. You know, and I think about, we do all have our plan, but it's God that orders our steps. And so if we would submit and just let God lead us. I remember having a conversation with Paul and Robin, and you know, I'm like, oh, they always tell us that we should, you know, lay out our goals and all of those things. And I remember, I think it was Paul who said, well, I just do whatever God tells me to do next. You know, and shouldn't that be how we live? And it doesn't mean that we don't plan and that kind of thing, but always be willing to just be obedient, to just say yes, God, for whatever it is that he lays on our hearts. And we should live like Robin was saying, no matter where God plants us, that should be our heart, is to just be obedient, to share Jesus. And obviously, as Paul and Robin were sharing, what were they sharing? They were sharing their story. They're sharing about the things that God had allowed them to partner with him in. And each of us has that opportunity to do that with those that we have relationship with. And, well, I'm crazy enough, I'll even do it with somebody I don't have a relationship with. But that's kind of the starting point, is God's placed somebody next to you. It might be a relative, it might be a neighbor, might be a coworker, but just to start there and see what God wants to do. And we never know, like you guys said, we never know the seeds that God's going to plant. And so God gives us the opportunity to partner with him. And that is partnering with him in his work here locally, just like they were saying, but it's everywhere, wherever he calls us to partner with. And so we do invite you, if something that Paul and Robin has shared that you're just feeling God impressing upon your heart, you want to partner with God directly with Paul and Robin in the work that they're doing, invite you to do that. You can do that through the church. You can do it today in a one-time offering. Whatever God is putting on your heart, encourage you to be obedient in that. And I'm going to close in prayer shortly here, but I do also want to say that we do have prayer after service as well. And so if you want to take time to pray with the prayer team before you leave today, before you go and touch base with Paul and Robin in the commons area, I encourage you to do that. We don't want anybody to leave without bringing whatever is on your heart to God in prayer. And so I invite you to do that. So if you will, bow your heads with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you give us the privilege of partnering with you in your work, your perfect plan. And Lord, it is humbling that you will use us. Lord, whether we come from Iowa, whether we're from Minnesota or anywhere else around this globe, you want your children to be involved in what you're doing, because you know that we're going to be blessed in that. And so, Lord, it is a great honor to be able to serve you, to be obedient. And, Lord, we don't have to have an REV before our name in order to serve you. No matter who we are, we have that opportunity to serve you and bring you glory. And so, God, we just thank you for that. We ask that you would continue to give us the eyes to see who it is that you have before us, who it is that you want us to be sharing the good news with. And it might be just sharing an answered prayer that you have given us that's going to help someone else see that you are real and that you are actively involved in our lives today. And so, Lord, help us to see those that you put around us. Help us to hear, Lord, your voice so that we can be obedient to what it is that you're telling us to do. God, we thank you for Paul and Robin and their heart for the people in Thailand. Lord, we pray that you would just bless them richly. Lord, watch over their family. We ask that you would work and move, Lord, in their kids' lives, their grandkids' lives. Lord, that you would just pour out your blessing, your covering of protection. And Lord, that you would give them great courage to go forth with the good news that you have given them. Lord, may they change lives through the power of your word as they share that. Lord, we just thank you so much. You are awesome. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.